is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
There it is.
You see, the thing is, Jade, I've learned this. You have to turn on the mic.
Yep. Part of your broadcast education.
And how do I do that through the years? Well, I've learned when I turn on the mic, or I need to turn on the mic, start slow.
Okay.
You don't have to rush right in.
Stretch.
Talk to it.
Don't pull a muscle.
Listen to what the microphone is telling you.
Here's the thing. The microphone has a bunch of nonsense, so I've stopped doing that.
Ah.
I control the mic. The mic doesn't control me, they say.
You want to turn on the microphone, you've got to pretend you're into what the microphone's telling you. Be an active listener.
I mean, I've been with a lot of microphones in my day.
I
found that just to be kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, is that so?
Yeah, it's like, let's just get to it.
Wow.
Wow,
you sound...
Toxic masculinity at 601.
You sure you're not? You haven't been married 15 years?
Not yet.
That's that territory. Welcome in. That's Jay. I'm Dave. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone number. 916-339-1140.
Can I start out with a question?
Your text line.
When did television broadcast, like, when did it become a thing to go to HD? When was that, like, a thing where it was, like, kind of standard at that point?
2000s?
Because I have on NBA TV, and they have an old Raptors Magic game on from, like, 2007. And I can't see who anybody is because the definition is so bad.
It was introduced in 98, so I do think early 2000s.
Okay, so clearly the Torontos are not up with the times at that point.
No.
It's like, there's Darko Milicic, you would never know because of how blurry the broadcast is.
I'm old enough to remember. I am old enough to remember. I remember watching like an episode of Hunter on Channel 3 or something, and the big deal, and old people will remember this, was... like at the beginning of the episode, after the open and all that, and they were showing like the credits as the episode was starting, it would show the big Peacock logo would unfold, and then underneath it would say in stereo.
Yes.
That was a huge thing.
And sometimes it'd come out this way with the headphones.
Yeah. Exactly. In fact, I think that's exactly what it was.
And in stereo.
I remember watching on our not stereo television, and then the first time I think my dad got a TV. That hooked up to his speakers, but we weren't allowed. We had to use the TV speakers on the television, and the only times we could play it through the stereo, my dad would have to do it, and it was for like special occasion programming. So my dad would watch like what was it called? PBS, Austin City Limits.
Wow, that was special for programming. What'd you call these speaker things? Yeah,
yes.
That was speaker programming. Got it.
It was speaker programming. So my dad, it was a big thing. My sister and I get on the couch, and my dad or my mom would say like, "We're putting it on the speakers," and then we'd sit on the couch, and it didn't matter who it was. It could have been like Waylon Jennings and the Tennessee Five, or I don't know,
or four.
I don't know. And we would my sister and I, there was like one couch for my parents and then like a kid chair, and my sister and I would fight for the chair, and we just end up like each with a cheek in the seat because no one wanted to move. And my dad would turn it on, and the thing about my dad's, it was this old Marantz stereo receiver from like the 70s, but it was awesome.
Pristine.
And he had these four speakers that were about 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide, and they looked like bookshelves almost. They were just huge.
Yeah, there were no small speakers then.
No. And so... he would turn on the stereo, and it would take a second, and then you'd hear this click.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the click.
So we always made, you have to turn the sound all the way down so it doesn't blow out the speakers. And then he'd slowly turn it up, and he'd get it to a point. He'd always turn it a little too loud, but we loved it. And then you're hearing like, and you're, oh, my God, it's like we're in a concert. This is amazing. And then I would get in trouble because I was like, well, hold on a second. Like, this is cool. And it would always be music or something. Or like a presidential debate. you know, something, whatever.
Not even baseball game, basketball game?
You know,
did make the cut?
I don't have a memory of him doing it for sports, but maybe. He was a huge sports fan. So I remember doing it one time for like, it was like Transformers or He-Man or something. I think it was.
That's real speaker programming, damn it.
It was He-Man. And I thought nobody was home. It was after school. And so I turn it on. I remember what my dad did. And I turn it on.
Visual learner, I see.
And I don't know if any of you remember He-Man. This is really narrow casting now. This is for people that have ever watched He-Man. But basically the
dude
point.
Loved Masters of the Universe.
Okay.
Yes.
So basically every He-Man went like this. Prince Adam, who was He-Man, spoiler.
Wow.
There'd be some problem. Skeletor or Beastman or something would do something. Adam would get his ass kicked like the whole show. And then he'd run around a corner. And, you know, by the power of Grayskull, he'd lift his sword. And the whole entire cartoon centered around literally 3 minutes. It was basically, gosh, this is going to sound really bad, but I'm saying this from my perspective as a kid, so I think I'm allowed to, but I feel like it followed the rules of a porn, and let me explain. Everything else about the He-Man cartoon was irrelevant and boring. The part everybody tuned in for, Jay, stay with me. The part that everybody tuned in for was the 5 minutes from the time that Adam would raise the sword and say, by the power of Grayskull.
Just like in the porn.
Would turn Krenger into Battle Cat, and then he would kick everybody's butt. And it was the song, He-Man, da-da-da-da-da. And you get up and you jump around. And like, you were into it. Like,
I know.
So you see what I'm saying? Like,
I see what you're saying, but this is also a family show. So
you
could have left the porn reference out and just went to Popeye.
I'm just saying. Popeye, same thing.
That's my point.
Popeye gets his butt kicked the whole time, eats the spinach, and now it's on.
A little more family friendly.
Now it's on.
You just compared He-Man to porn.
I'm saying they all go by the same rules. If you're a bad guy, Bluto or whomever...
I don't want storyline in my He-Man.
No.
Just get to right. it. Kill the guys already.
GTC. Get to Krenger. Okay? If you were Bluto and you heard da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you knew a pounding was coming. Okay. Too close to the other
Bro.
Thing.
Bro.
You knew you were getting your butt kicked. All right?
It's Wednesday. If it's hump day.
If you were Skeletor and you heard He-Man, you need to run. Because it's not once did He-Man ever lose when he was He-Man. Skeleton never had. Anyways.
So you think he would just be He-Man all the time? Like, that's
right.
Simple logic.
Just stay He-Man.
Because that doesn't, like, that whole storyline in the cartoon does not take place, by the way, if you've never seen the movie, the 1987 Dolph Lundgren and Courtney Cox film.
There's a new documentary.
Which is,
or not,
to me, also one of the most underrated films of the 1980s. I love Masters of the Universe.
With Dolph Lundgren?
Yes, it's so bad,
Have
but
you watched
so good.
The new one by Kevin Smith?
No.
It's on Netflix. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, does the voice of Skeletor.
Oh.
So it's a whole thing now. It's supposed to be a lot more... it's supposed to pay attention a lot more. It'd be in the line of the classic cartoon. Anyways, wrap it up. The He-Man song comes on, and boy, do I blast it. And the whole living room is just happening. He-Man, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm jumping up, and now I have the power. And then
you have the power of the speakers and no one here to infringe.
No one here. My sister is upstairs.
Sistering.
Right. My mom and dad are at work.
Mom and dadding.
He-Man, da-da-da-da-da. All of a sudden, I noticed that out of the right speaker, every time the bass hits, it's making a strange sound. I blew my dad's speaker, don't isolate that, with the He-Man theme. And I was young enough to, I knew what had happened. So what did I do? I turned everything back down the way my dad found it because I was a very good, I was a professional, my dad's probably listening right now, at remembering exactly how my dad left things because he would remember. I turned everything down. I turned off the stereo. And I basically wrote my will, you know, knowing I was going to die. My dad would come home. He would close the door. He'd put down his briefcase and something's wrong. And he'd go right over to the stereo and he'd discover it was the speaker was blown. Anyways. He didn't find out that day Say about a month and a half later, Austin City Limits came on PBS Channel 6. He turns up like the Emmy Lou Harris and Loretta Lynn hour or whatever the heck he was doing, hosted by Phil Donahue or whatever the, you know.
Shout out, Phil.
Shout out, Phil. And he goes to turn it off. And Loretta Lynn blew out the speaker. And I'm sitting there with my sister and I'm saying, oh, my God. My dad's fiddling with the volume. And you hear just, I don't break. And he goes over there and he's listening. And then he asked me to go over to the stereo and turn it up and down. And while he's listening, he goes, speaker's blown. And I sat there and I went, oh, what'd you do?
Nice.
Wednesday, September 8, 2021, if he's listening right now, it's the first time my father has found out that I blew one of his speakers by listening to
the He-Man
theme. Dad, I'm sorry.
Is your dad the type that's going to charge you retroactively for blowing out the speaker?
My dad will just simply use this for the rest of my... Remember when next time I say, well, Dad, I was over at the thing. Honestly, I didn't...
This is why I have your Find My Phone
that's
on.
That's exactly right. Remember when you blew out the speaker? You didn't tell me until, well, what would this be now? This would be about 35 years after the fact you told me. Yeah. Well, you know what? The bottom line is, Dad, is that I'm always honest with you.
Yeah, you came clean in the end.
Okay. Don't isolate that either. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
I'm just going to avoid isolating that entire segment.
Yeah, I would actually just delete that whole thing.
I may not post that on the podcast.
We have a lot of show for you today as we roll closer to NFL football and closer to this Friday's guest announcement. Talked to one of those guests yesterday. God, you guys, I really think you're going to be happy. Giants wins, A's loses. Boy,
what else is news?
That's a repeat, yeah. And Chris Weber speaks about Michigan. I thought this was rather interesting. We'll talk about all this next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Waiting for it, Duggar. And the game is over, and that's two shutout innings in the Major League debut for Kevin Castro, and the Giants have won three in a row and maintain their one-game edge on the Dodgers in the West.
Giants have won three in a row, maintain their one-game edge on the Dodgers in the West. Dude, look at us. We're the Giants. We're so cool.
I mean, the Dodgers won two.
Yeah, but you were supposed to lose two in a row.
Let us
be in first place. You play the Rockies.
We play the Rockies.
But, hey, this is the Dodgers dropped 2-3 to the Rockies a couple series ago.
It's your fault. I don't know how.
How is it my fault? I don't play.
It's your personal fault. I don't know how the Dodgers...
However, if I did play, they would drop 3-3 to the Rockies.
This Rockies team is bad.
They're not Diamondbacks bad, but they suck.
They're
They don't baseball well.
No. What was that? Was it? It was 3-0. I think the Giants scored two in the first yesterday, or day before yesterday, three yesterday.
The Giants slept walked to 12 runs last night. Let's just call it what it is.
And the funny thing is they had, let me just make sure here. I want to say they had 10 or 11 runs before they hit their first home run.
Yeah.
Yaz finally hit a home run.
He's like, huh, only got 11 runs. We're in Colorado.
Let's go.
Someone needs to hit a home run or it doesn't count, right?
Have a day, Steven Duggar, by the way, who came up with the bases loaded, hit a triple. It was his second triple of the night.
Just got called up from Sacramento, too, if I'm not mistaken. So
Duggar, they've been going back and forth.
I know him and Sacramento Sammy Log. He's,
yeah.
I think, made 17 trips to Sacramento already this year.
Do you have any idea how difficult it is? In his first three at-bats, he had 8 total bases without a home run. He hit a triple, a double, and a triple.
It's pretty good.
That's really good. When he came up with the bases loaded, he had the triple and the double already. I'm thinking, you know, grand slam here. We might be looking at a Steven Duggar cycle. Nope, he failed.
Way to go, Steven.
But two triples.
How is it that you got two triples, though?
Yeah, two triples.
Who gets two triples?
Nobody gets two triples. Like, you count on one hand, probably, the amount of games in baseball that somebody got two triples.
Honest to God, I
this year?
I wonder... I mean, period. How often do you hear about a guy hitting two triples?
Sure, it's probably.
I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
Marquise Grissom did it 7 times. Vince Coleman did it 12, probably.
They don't count.
No.
If you did in the 80s, it doesn't matter.
12-3, your final. Nothing changes because the Dodgers also refuse to ever lose. The Giants maintain the slimmest of, well, the second slimmest of margins, I guess, behind a half game. A one-game lead over the Dodgers. The funny thing is, the Dodgers have now won 7 of 10. The Giants have lost 5 of 10. Even winning 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, even winning the first 2 with the Rockies, but we're still hurting, dude, from the Braves and the Brewers.
I'm telling you, the NL West is going to come down to the last week of the season.
Of course it is.
It's going to come down to the last week of the season.
You know it's going to come down to, like, the last game.
And we're going to have a team, whether it's the Giants or the Dodgers, that won, I'm guessing, over 100 games and have to play in the wild card.
Which is so
stupid. We talked about it yesterday. It's so stupid.
It's so dumb. The Giants host the San Diego Padres.
The Fathers.
At home for their final game. Dodgers host the Brewers.
Brew Crew.
That's a 12-10 first pitch. October 3rd, final game of the season. Let's see where the Giants are. 12-05 October. Okay.
There it is.
So the Giants will be playing the
My guess is you'd much rather be playing the Padres than the Brew Crew.
I guarantee you that. However, Jay, I can tell you this. After they take on, they finish the Rockies, they take on the Cubs. They've got 4, 7, 10 games left with San Diego. We might just be tired of the Padres by then. But either way, that's way ahead. Number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
2-2. Set by Hendricks. He throws. It swung out a miss and a breaking on the dirt. So sky ball strikes out. Inning over. Ball game over. The White Sox take the first game of the series 6-3.
You know what I always say?
Yeah.
You're going to end the game that way. At least end it with a guy with a cool name.
Skybolt is a phenomenal name. It is not a phenomenal run for your Oakland Athletics.
You could hear it in Ken's voice on that call. Like
Ken Boyd.
Dread.
Ken.
He had Gary Gerald.
I was just going to say that.
Disappointing dad voice.
Except I stepped on, I said Ken voice.
Yes, Ken voice.
Ken voice and Korak voice. Yeah, Ken Korak absolutely had Gary Gerald disappointed voice. Hey, speaking of a guy you kept bringing up yesterday. Marcus Semien single-handedly beat the A's in the Blue Jays series. Guess who gets the save yesterday? Liam Hendricks.
Yep, and guess who will probably get the save the next 2 games if this goes this way again?
Of course it
will. Liam Hendricks.
6-3 is your final. The White Sox, actually, the A's got out of a bases-loaded issue. I think Aprilian walked in the first run of the game with one out in the inning.
Yeah, that game should have been blown open, actually, the first inning.
Really,
I was listening to that on the radio.
Really should have. White Sox went up at 1.6-1. A's get a couple in the eighth, but that did not matter. I don't know what to say.
It's a slow death. They're dying a slow death.
In the meantime, Dave Cavill and John Fisher head back to Vegas for their sixth trip there.
That's it, huh? Just six?
Yeah.
Parallel paths, baby.
I don't have great news for A's fans. I feel bad. A's now 7 back. 7 back of the Astros. Still just a half game back of the also losing Seattle Mariners. As far as the wild card goes, Jay, they're 3.5 back.
I know we don't have the schedule today, and we're talking a little baseball here, but were you aware of, because I was not before this morning, that I believe today is baseball's Hall of Fame inductions, like Derek Jeter, that guy?
No, I didn't know that.
Right?
Right, I had no idea.
Good job baseball.
Speaking of Hall of Fame inductions, number three.
Leading off, cut number three.
Weber brings it into the front court.
Oh, really?
They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he caused it. Too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball.
All right, let me explain what happened there. I wanted to bring up a Chris Weber story about Michigan. Jay just told me in my ear, literally the only clip involving Chris Weber, Michigan, is, of course, the timeout.
With audio. Like, there's a whole bunch of, like, Michigan highlight tapes, right. But it's just all music and him dunking.
No, apologies to everyone. Well, apologies to Chris. We weren't trying to do that. At least the pictures of Chris in a Kings uniform. With the Hall of Fame induction approaching for the NBA, Weber says that Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel privately apologized to him for the way the school handled the fallout of investigations surrounding claims Weber had accepted money from former booster Ed Martin. By the way, the AD there, it wasn't even at Michigan when it happened, when any of this happened. This is all about
Makes
Weber.
It's easy to apologize, isn't it, when it's not your mess?
It's all about Chris Webber and the University of Michigan trying to mend fences. It's been happening. Webber was on the sideline for a football game when Jim Harbaugh invited him and got a huge, huge ovation. He's got an upcoming book, By God's Grace, talking about that as well. And despite the whole thing with the Hall of Fame, remember when he was elected the Hall of Fame, he and Jalen Rose had that exchange on school. He said, we still need to talk. He said it might be a 30-second conversation, but we still need to talk.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because Jalen Rose broke the cone of silence, and that was our code. Don't do that. So Weber's obviously still upset with that, or at least still bothered by that. More on that later. Looking forward to seeing Yolanda Griffith, Rick Adelman, and Chris Webber all enter the Hall of Fame. And, of course, we'll have all kinds of fun sound for you when that happens. In the meantime, that timeout has been living rent-free in a lot of people's heads for many, many years. And here's my advice. Don't let anything live rent-free. You got to own. You have to own. And if you're going to own, well, what better way to own than to go to my friend Shelby at refinancewithshelby.com. Not for real. Refinance with – hold on a second. Did my little – yeah, I know. Look, it's gone. It's gone. My car is gone, Jay. What am I supposed to do? I gotta be an engineer right now. Thank you. So Shelby's time. Somebody dropped my plug, and I had this whole thing set up about rent-free. It was a beautiful setup.
In-laws tonight.
Don't over.
What? I got it. Commercial came on. That's a live engineering happening right there. All right, let's just get to it then. This is Shelby's time. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. Whether you want to refinance, of course, that's in the title. Get a low rate, get the lowest rate, take cash out, get rid of your mortgage insurance, pay off bills, lower your monthly payment, all the things that come from refinancing. Of course, you have equity in your home. You want to utilize that. Come on, don't just let it sit there. You want to purchase a home. A lot of people trying to get into homes right now. They're getting disappointed. You get emotional about a house. How could you not? You go in there, you make an offer, and then, oh, look it. Jim and Jane Johnson from Daly City decided to move to Sacramento where all the hicks are. So they come in with their Bay Area money, and they come over the top and leave a cash offer, and, well, back to the drawing board. Not with Shelby, because he can close your loan in under 17 days. In many cases, that's better than a cash offer. He can pre-approve you on the phone without running your credit in under 15 minutes. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. That's refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051. Area number 0186-4354.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Okie dokie, artichokies. By the way, it's 735. I'm excited about this. Old friend of the show, and truly old friend of the show, Frank Caliendo is going to join us to, well, he's going to be doing a show here. So obviously we're promoting something, but also good to talk to him before football starts. Giants win, A's lose. We've got highlights and notes next.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate texts at 916-339-1140.
100% true.
Or your nice YouTube chats, apparently.
Good morning, guys. Have a darn good show, says our friend Ben.
Hello, friend Ben. Thank you for listening.
Ben also says Chris in the YouTube chat is the kind of guy that finishes 90% of his meal and then sends it back for a refund.
Definitely his guy. Chris is also the guy that gets the bill and looks at it as a suggested price and not what he asked to pay. So if it's like $42.86, he's probably going to leave like $34 and a happy face on the receipt.
Chris, the guy that if it was $42.86, he would leave a 14-cent tip so he could even it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Chris. Love you. Jay.
Dave.
The top bid. And this bid is currently at $1,558.80. Again, Chris would leave a 20-cent tip. Rounded up to $1,559. The top bid for this auction that closes on the 25th, so I expect it will go much higher, is $1,558.80. for Michael Jordan's underwear. Yes, that's right. Michael Jordan underwear. It looks like it's Hanes, probably. It's gray underwear. Kind of like boxer brief style with a little bit of the legs.
Okay.
On the front left leg, there is an Air Jordan logo. And across the black strap at, up top, the waistband, it says Jordan. So you have a black waistband with Jordan in gray, and then gray. I'm trying to describe this.
Right. I know. I'm trying to understand this. So this is a pair of Jordan underwear, or Michael Jordan specific?
Michael Jordan, Jordan specific.
How do you verify that? Because it ain't his eBay account.
Nope.
How do you verify it?
I have ways, and I'm not saying them.
Oh.
But let's just assume it was verified.
Okay. Did you lift these from his house?
See?
Gross.
I know it's gross. I'm saying there's ways to verify it. Anyways, I'm assuming these are Gem Mint 10 Michael Jordan underwear.
Are these graded underwear or is this an NFT? Is this his actual underwear? Is this a Top Shot Michael Jordan's underwear?
I'm not going to lie. Which implies that I lie often. Again, if I were a rich person, this is the type of thing I would bid on. This is the type of thing I would have already had the Abraham Lincoln hairs. Remember that was auctioned a few years ago or a year ago. I would have Michael Jordan's. This is the type of stuff I would have. Weird stuff that nobody else collects. There's no market for it.
Dave's wall of weird.
I would have it all. Hey, look, there's Kurt Schilling's bloody sock. Oh, look over there. There's Ronnie Lott's finger. Hey, there's Michael Jordan's boxers. Game used. I don't know if they're game used, by the way.
I hope not.
It does. I feel like it would say the underwear he wore in the, you know, whatever finals.
Right.
Which, by the way, would probably get 10K.
Easy.
One other story before we get to baseball, because we have to get to this. I can't believe you. And I guess we made a slight reference at it at three for Madness, but this deserves more. Our point guard, De'Aaron Fox.
I have it on the rundown.
No. And then three for, right?
No.
Where? Oh, 8:15. At 8:15.
And it's in three for, isn't it? No.
Yeah. No, it is.
You wrote three for, so that's on you.
I did. It's number three.
You'd rather talk about KHDK and PEDs? Oh, so I guess it is in three for.
Into it.
There you go.
All right, so we'll do it a third. I got it. It is a big enough story. De'Aaron Fox posted a couple photos of him working out.
And let me tell you.
And shirtless. Can I just say
this? If I looked like that, I would be posting shirtless pictures too.
Let me just say this without sounding disrespectful, because I love De'Aaron and I love the work he's doing.
And we're going to disrespect him in three, two, one. Disrespect. Go.
It's not like he's that muscular.
Dude, he looks great.
He looks amazing. That's why I put the preface on it. He looks like he's gained muscle. He looks fantastic. His body looks in shape. I'm saying
he doesn't look like Mike Bibby.
Right.
He doesn't circa look like 2018.
The late great Ultimate Warrior when he would flex and the veins would come
just
down.
Just call him late. The late Ultimate.
He wasn't great.
He's not a good person.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
a really bad person.
Oh,
actually.
Okay. I only know the rest.
Maybe Google some of his stuff at one point. You'll be shocked.
Okay, all right. I didn't know. A great example that wasn't a bad person.
Think of a roided out monster. De'Aaron doesn't look like that, but you would think he does.
Right. He doesn't have those. I mean, I'm a guy who's been around the UFC a long time. I've seen a lot of those guys at weigh-ins, and I'm like, dude.
Go to the weigh-ins.
That's a thing. That's a brag.
That's a brag for sure.
You literally walked
Uriah Faber down the aisle.
I didn't even mention that. I said I go to the weigh-ins. The public
that was
goes
next.
There. Everybody can go to a weigh-in. That was not next. Anyways, you see these
not
guys
everyone.
Flex, and they have their veins have muscles.
Yes, it's like gross.
That's not what De'Aaron Fox looked like.
Nah, he doesn't look like an Adonis.
If De'Aaron Fox posted a picture and he looked like today's Mike Bibby.
There's a reason for concern.
So anyways, he posts this picture of him working out and shirtless. Well, that day.
Sent off an alarm at NBA headquarters, apparently.
That day, he gets a message, which he posted, that he's got to go take a drug test.
PEDs. Peds. Like, come on, man. You can't make that up.
Like, honestly, If De'Aaron Fox, I think De'Aaron Fox will be right up there with like Buster Posey to me. If people that like if they got busted for PEDs, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
You
know a PED body when you see it.
You really do.
He doesn't have one.
No, he doesn't. And that's what I mean. It almost sounds like
he's still
disrespectful.
He's still slender.
Right.
He does not have muscles on top of muscles.
He just has muscles.
He's just a muscular version of his own body.
Right.
Good Lord. Hey, Tyrese Halliburton, we know you've put on 10 pounds of muscle. Don't post a picture of yourself without a shirt on. You will be popped,
right,
sir.
Right, exactly. I mean, can a guy just work out?
Right. Can I just get my gains in, bro?
And the message said, hey, listen, if you're in Sacramento, awesome. If not, let us know where you are. This needs to be done today.
We will seek and destroy you.
And I'm like, what if De'Aaron was in the Caribbean?
Right.
What if he was in on a trek to Antarctica? I don't know. I'm just
what
saying.
If he was in the middle of Nebraska, just out in the cornfields, enjoying life?
I really want to know.
Would you search him out?
I don't even know who to ask, but I am going to email the NBA today and say that exact thing. What if he was in Grand Plains, Nebraska? Grand Junction.
Right.
Whatever it is. Do they, like, private plane somebody out there with, like, a little briefcase?
And does he have to, like, stay still where he's at? Like, don't move.
Don't move. We're coming to you. And then you just say, all right, hey, step into my office. Do they unfold like a portable porta potty that's like you blow up with the pump?
Dude.
And he steps in there. By the way, do they still watch everyone pee?
Yes.
So someone's got to watch him pee?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Can't get the old, what's the thing Ontario Smith used?
The
Wizinator. Can't get a Wizinator.
Was that Grant High's Ontario
Yes.
Smith?
Sacramento proud.
No PEDs on the Giants. No PEDs on the A's.
Steven Duggar might be on PEDs.
Yeah.
Can I read you some Steven Duggar stats real quick,
please,
before we get out of here?
And by the way, you might want to say you're kidding.
I'm kidding.
Somebody's going to be like, J-Mars KCK claims that Steven.
I'm not. You know they won't be. I'm not popular enough to do that.
I mean,
so Steven Duggar has had 14 at-bats since being called up from Sacramento.
Yeah.
In those at-bats, he has 3 triples, a double, 2 singles. He scored 3 runs and has 5 ribbies. Like, hit a home run, kid.
Yeah.
You're 6 of 14 with 3 triples and a double. Like, let's do a little work.
Oh, you're saying get some power. Maybe you should work out with De'Aaron.
Yeah. So a little investigating. He's the first Giant with 2 triples in a game since Stephen Vogt did it in 2019.
Yeah.
He is the first Giant with 2 triples and a double in a game since Eduardo Nunez did it in 2016. Do you know who's the only other player who did it prior to that? Well, not only other player, but that hadn't been done since 1991. Want to take a stab at who did it? Two triples and a double in a game for the Giants.
91. All right.
Third year of college.
Okay. So we're coming off of 89 and the Bay Bridge.
Thinking way too hard about this.
Jeff Kent?
Jeff Kent did not play for the Giants in 91.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
I know he didn't.
Way too hard, you're thinking.
Way too early. Will Clark?
Will Clark.
Will Clark was my first thought, but also I'm thinking the triples. Like, Will wasn't
Yeah, but
exactly
Will's
a
also
speedster.
Mr. Warning Track Power,
yeah,
like, almost get it
yeah.
out.
I said Jeff Kent like 10 years early. When was that trade with the Indians?
96.
96, 97?
Like 96.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. This next story, Jay, you're going to lead this segment.
Okay.
I'm going to step aside and, I mean, I'll participate. I was in Mexico during this whole thing. I really missed the Bishop Sycamore deal. I know what it is. But
that's all you really need to know.
But now apparently Bishop Sycamore's going Hollywood?
Yes!
Okay, we'll talk about that next.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel. But a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
We are live.
And in living color.
Mm-hmm. In stereo.
What?
Yeah. I always thought it was funny when they...
Can you do that on AM?
Well, that's the thing. You have HD, high-definition radio.
Have we made the stereo yet?
Live from the Tent City on Commerce Circle. No, we're not making fun of it. It's just simply a fact. Commerce Circle, Sacramento, California. 50,000 watts of Sports 1140 KHDK all up in your ear holes. That is Jay Mars. I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll take you all the way till 9 o'clock. when James Rome comes in studio and does his little program. You can watch us on YouTube, YouTube/KHTK. Smash the like button. Hit the subscribe button lightly. The debate today in the chat, you can always count on it, is
brought to you by me.
McGriddle versus McMuffin. They always, we never do it. They always come up with their own things.
No, I came up with that
one. Oh, did you?
That's a poll.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Can you participate in the poll, please?
Oh, you know what? I already voted. Never mind.
What'd you vote?
I voted the correct answer.
Which is?
The McGriddle is better.
That's subjective.
Not really. It's actually a fact. Listen, both are fine. I will tell you this. I get mine with folded egg.
Oh, no.
I don't like biting into just yolk. It smells gross.
I thought you didn't eat egg, period.
It's not that I don't eat egg. I'm very, very picky about egg. I don't like runny yolk. I don't like cooked
yolk. So you're a texture guy when it comes to eggs.
I'm a texture and I'm a smell. You ever smell a cooked egg yolk? Not great, dude. Not great. And eggs are one of the things that actually, they smell the same both ways. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I like mine scrambled up, but I will say this about the McGriddle, and then we'll move on. I, for years, avoided it until it was a situation where somebody had a bag of McGriddles, and I was really hungry, and there was nothing else. I'm like, okay, because the idea of pancake,
basically. Yeah, that's basically what a McGriddle is.
A pancake with egg, that's just not great to me. I don't like mixing stuff. I don't put syrup on my eggs. I bit into it, and whoa, boy golly. That's a bunch of great flavors all rolled into one, and they just work.
A delightful culinary experience.
It really was. Unfortunately, Chris also believes that.
So that's how I know they suck.
Uh-huh.
Never had a McGriddle.
From the 209, I was probably the first one in 2008 that went out and bought an HD radio just to listen to KHTK and high def. I still have it and use the radio at my office when I make it there. It's a Sony 200 radio. It's awesome, from 2008.
Actually, shout out 2008.
That's a text from the 209. Good to hear that he was able to pick up his prize that he won. That's inside baseball. Bishop Sycamore. So this was what? The idea behind Bishop Sycamore is this. What? They played some super high-ranked team.
They played a team called IMG Academy. This was on ESPN, nationally televised.
Right.
ESPN presents this as a battle of two schools with a lot of college football recruits. A
lot of college football recruits.
D1 guys.
Yeah.
SEC guys. Mm-hmm. Turns out Bishop Sycamore was not that. They got blown out 58-0. The commentators are questioning whether or not they're a real school because they're like, OMG, what is happening here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys on the sideline sharing helmets. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. Now it's come to light, Bishop Sycamore, not actually a school.
Oh.
They hustled ESPN. Kevin Hart and Rich Paul,
okay,
respectively,
yeah,
both of their production companies now are combining to do a documentary on how this alleged high school came to be to hustle ESPN onto a nationally televised game.
So it's like full on a hustle.
Oh, it's a straight hustle. They're not even, they were able to somehow get themselves accredited in the Ohio, you know, state school district thingy, whatever. But now, like, the head coach got fired, and it turns out they're actually a post-grad football academy.
Current head coach Tyron Jackson is trying to go on record to further any idea that the school is a sham. To further any idea? I would say counter, guys. Starting with admitting it's not actually a school, as Jay just said. He spoke with NBC4 in Columbus, Ohio over the weekend and answered questions about Bishop Sycamore, providing a fairly blunt assessment. Quote, "We do not offer curriculum. We're not a school." That's not what Bishop Sycamore is, and I think that's what the biggest misconception about us was. And that's our fault, because that was a mistake on paperwork. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Now you're getting into this, aren't you?
Okay. So, on the application where it said, are you a school? You checked the wrong box?
Pretty much.
Do you provide football? Will you bring players? Are you going to... Are you a school? Yes. Oops. No, we're not a school. They're a post-grad football academy. NBC4 noted that when they pressed the coach on what that mistake was on the paperwork, what it entailed, Jackson didn't provide any further information and said he didn't know much about the paperwork.
Clearly.
They also pressed him on the fact that the school had reported a bell schedule for the prior year beginning at 7:10 and going on until 3 o'clock. As for why a school that is not a school would have a bell schedule, Jackson had no answers. Final quote, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I won't speak on stuff I don't know about. Like I said, if it was something that happened like that, and that's terrible. That's not how you do business. I think we need to get this interview with NBC4. I really need to hear this. You know, we laugh. Real quick, they put out a bunch of kids and put them in harm's way against a team that they should not have been playing. So it is funny, but let's not forget the fact that they put a lot of kids in harm's way that shouldn't have been on that field. That I do remember. And so people need to pay.